Hi everyone, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on what part of the globe that you are listening from. My name is Onome and you're welcome to today's Green Ticker Tales. Green Ticker Tales podcast is mostly about stocks and a bunch of other things, crypto, fixed income, commodities, global macro, anything money related, but stocks are the primary focus. Today's podcast is rather long. I'm going to be looking at Nigerian Breweries audited FY2024 numbers. And just in case you're wondering what is FY, what is audited, please check out the previous podcast. There I explained the meaning of FYQs, 10Ks, and likes, right? But just in case you don't have the time to listen to it, FY means financial year. Audited means an auditor has gone through the numbers to make sure they are okay. And if there are issues, they would flag them. So let's take a trip to Igomu, home of Nigerian Breweries. A bit about the company. Nigerian Breweries was incorporated in 1946 and began operations in June 1949 when the very first bottle of Star Lager beer rolled out. So Nigerian Breweries has been operating for nearly 80 years. That's a fairly old company anywhere in the world. I mean, 80 years is old, right? It also means that Nigerian Breweries essentially has been operating longer than Nigeria as a corporate entity. Nigeria became independent in 1960. I think the amalgamation was 1914. So if you're going by amalgamation, then Nigeria is a bit older than Nigerian Breweries. If you're going by independence, then Nigerian Breweries has had some head start, right? Either way works. They also have a couple of other brands: Maltina, Amstel Malta, Feroz, Gouda, Legend Extra Stouts, and all likes. A firm they bought sometime last year, Distell, has, by virtue of that transaction, given them import licenses for brands such as Amarula Cream and Chamdor Wine, which I quite like. Nigerian Breweries was listed on the stock exchange in 1973. The company is a subsidiary of Heineken of the Netherlands. Heineken owns about 72.9% of Nigerian Breweries. The rest is held by retail and institutional investors in Nigeria. So, back to NB. The last few years have been rough for them and other players in the brewery space. And I know people look at the numbers and say, hey, how can you make so much money? Say things are rough. I mean, 2024 was an extremely challenging year for both companies and people. You had a devaluation that led to higher prices. You had sharp increase in petrol prices. Just generally, it was a tough year. So even companies have tough years. For companies, 2024 was challenging because you had high inflation. That meant costs had to go up. It was also a bit difficult passing those costs to customers, because if customers are struggling with high inflation, you're increasing your prices, it gets to a point people would cut back on consumption. Most people are focused on essentials. Food to eat, clothes to wear, data. I guess data is an essential. and usual stuff, housing and all that. So it's after you've settled all those things that you now think of or settling down to drink beer. And I would say from even a retail perspective, I was doing some numbers and I was looking at how much a bottle of mineral or soft drink, as we call them in Nigeria, will cost. Depending on what you're buying, it's going for 400 to 500 naira. So that's a lot of money. If you take it on a monthly basis, if you're buying a bottle a day, that's about 15,000 a month. And you multiply it by the rest of the year, you're doing 180,000 a year on soft drink. That's a lot. You know, so for a lot of people, they have had to cut back. Maybe upside is they've had to live more healthier lives, because obviously water is cheaper than various options there. But that's an aside, right? So 2024 was tough for firms, higher costs, the companies that had foreign liabilities, dollar loans. By the time you revalue them, meaning you translate to naira, they're more expensive. The devaluation as a movement in the exchange rate means that you need more naira to buy the same amount in dollars. So if I was buying $10 with how much? 4,500 naira. And the exchange rate moves to, what is it now? About 1.6. Where I was using 4,500, I'm now going to be using about 16,000. So scale that up and you can then imagine the cost differentials for a company of this size. The second punch that they got is brewers have some imported raw materials. I think barely, B-A-R-L-E-Y, is imported. That should be an ingredient, if I remember correctly, for malt. So obviously import that. And the devaluation means that in naira terms, you're going to have to pay more for raw materials. I mean, I was looking at the numbers for them. Raw material cost went up by over 100%. So for the 2023 financial year, they spent about 286 billion on raw materials. Fast forward to 2024, and that figure went up to 615 billion. So that's a lot. I mean, if you do the numbers, if your costs go up by 100%, how many firms can afford to increase prices by 100%? It's tough. I was looking at the number of times that Nigerian breweries had to take price increases last year. I've run out of the number of times. At the last count I counted, I think they probably had to take 3 price increases last year. I suspect it was 4 or 5. So it was rough for them, right? They had dollar loans that they need more naira to pay back, all that. So to solve all those dollar issues, they raised capital via a rights issue. A rights issue means that the company sells shares to existing shareholders as of a particular date. So they did that last year. Yeah, the offer was concluded last year, then we got the results this year. So anyways, that chapter is behind them. So let's look at how else they fared. Revenue-wise, it was good. Revenue was up by about 79.2%. Let's call that 80%. From 600 billion in 2023 to about a trillion in 2024. That means that Nigerian Breweries has officially joined what I would call the Trillionaire Club. So they are one of a select group of companies on the exchange that have made over 1 trillion in annual revenue. I don't think we have more than 6 or 7 of such companies. The two that come to my mind are MTN Nigeria and Dangote Cement. Airtel Africa, I think also definitely would have done that. I would do something on Airtel Nigeria. When I look at Airtel, I like to look at the Nigerian numbers. I'm sure Airtel Nigeria is probably doing over 1 trillion in revenue. So it's a big deal. Like I said, the problem isn't from the revenue side. Revenue is actually going up. The problem is from the cost side, finance costs, operating costs, raw material costs. So that's where the problem is with this firm. From a margins basis, the results, I mean, margins are pretty tiny. So when I mean margin, company has made 1 trillion in revenue. Operating profit is about 68 point something billion. So to put it in simple terms, if my math is correct, for every 100 naira that MB, as it's commonly known, made in 2024, 6.8 naira was operating profit. And usually I like to see profit margins of 10-20%, because Nigeria is a high inflation country, right? So I want to see you making 20-30% ideal space in profit, whether it's operating profit or profit after tax. When you compare it to your revenue, those are the kind of returns that I like to see. So they're doing well revenue wise. The company recorded a loss for 2024. It essentially has an empty tank, so that means shareholders are not going to get a dividend. The last time this company paid a dividend was for the 2022 financial year. Dividends are a big deal in Nigeria. We don't play with our dividends. That feeling, I'm sure you know the feeling when you wake up and you see an alert, or you just be walking on the street and you just get that vibration on your phone. And no matter how small the money is, every naira matters, you know. So the fact that 2 years straight no dividends, that's a big issue. But blame it on the exchange rate movement and the tough operating environment. Something struck me, and I hope the company would have a call and maybe they touch on it. I was looking at Heineken numbers. I remember Heineken is a parent company, so as a parent company, they're going to talk about, hey, what's happening in all the countries we operate in around the world. For Heineken, what they said is, look, things were tough in Nigeria, but volumes grew. So beer volumes actually grew. And that tells me that 2025 just could be a way better year. I mean, 2024 was such a tough year, inflation-wise, purchasing power-wise. So the fact that they were able to grow volumes, double-digit growth, is interesting, right? And let me just read the exact quote that they had about Nigeria. So total volume, meaning everything that they sold, all the different brands that they sold, total volume grew in the low teens, meaning probably grew what, 10, 11, 12-ish%, which is great, right? Double digit is great. For beer volumes grew faster, mid-teens. So if we use the term mid-teens, they probably mean 15, 16-ish, that kind of a 10%. As it says, it grew ahead of the market. What that tells me is that for beer, they did better than their competition. The brewery space in Nigeria can be segmented into two. You have the big three, just like music, where you have 001, 002, and 003. Please do not ask me who's the 001, 002, and 003. The back and forth between all the fan bases is vicious, so I'm not going to answer that question. But you can pick whoever is your 01, 02, 03. Everybody has theirs. Well, for the brewers, the big three, you have Nigerian breweries, you have international breweries. And then somewhere sandwiched between both, you have Guinness Nigeria. So those are the big three players. And you have a few other smaller players in the space. You have Champion Breweries, you have Golden Guinea. I think that's pretty much about all. I don't know if there are any other players. If they are, I don't know them. So the big three tend to dominate things, right? And if actual fact, if you look at the numbers, the big two, so to speak, international breweries and Nigerian breweries, they kind of have segmented things. So Nigerian breweries has some push when it comes to the malt category. Their malt segment does amazingly well. International breweries tends to do quite well with low-cost beers and the likes. Guinness is somewhere in between, if I recall correctly. So the fact that they did quite well when it comes to beer is interesting. Now, another phenomenon or trend in that space is people aren't drinking as much beer as before. So even though Nigeria is a huge market, the trend, and you can look around you, just take a walk on your street and sit down, you have people doing more spirits and other things and beer, right? And even for beer, one of the ways companies are trying to make money is to try and push the premium stuff. And what Heineken told us is for Nigeria, Heineken, the brand, the beer brand, and Desperados had strong growth, while for the malt segment or the non-alcoholic segment, you had Maltina and Zag having pretty decent growth. So from a growth perspective, it was a good year for the firm. Beyond the revenue and profit, I also like to look at what the big boys and big babes in the company are getting. And by big boys and big babes, I mean senior management and board members. For FY 2024, that amounted to 1.9 billion. A bulk of that money went to the highest paid director. The highest paid director, most times in most companies, is the managing director or CEO. So it was from that angle. I mean, yeah, in Naira terms, it went up, but for a lot of these big companies, the pay for the CEO is typically kind of indexed to dollars. So if you have a devaluation and all that, it means that you still have to pay the dollar equivalent, meaning you're going to pay more in Naira. So the highest paid director walked away last year with 1.1 billion. Rest of the management and board had shared the remaining 800 and something million. That's a number I like to look at, just to know what's happening. I mean, some people might argue that, look, why are they earning more when shareholders haven't paid dividends for a few years? But really, the company has struggled due to factors beyond them, right? Nobody envisaged that you'd have your exchange rate move from what, 50-ish to what are we, 1.6, I think, in a couple of years. I don't think anybody saw that in their scenario planning, so that's really not their fault. I hope you found this useful. If you did, please feel free to like, share, and subscribe. You can also send questions to info@greenticketills.com. Apologies if you're tired of me spelling it. I will continue to do so on a lighter note till this podcast becomes famous. So please bear with me. It is info@greenticketills.com. Or you can tweet at me at Q QuantSimoto, that's Quantimodo. On Twitter, I'm very active there. I think Twitter is my most active social media platform. There should be a write-up on this on the website. So whenever you're listening to this, the write-up will be on the website. Have yourselves a great trading day ahead.